1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Going to get with it, Jeff. And I told Jeff, I said, I told him, normally I finish closer to 7 than 7:15. Jeff moaned. And so, it's okay. How many of you, just by a show of hands, you get one or two votes, you know, and Jeff, we're going to see, we're taking a vote. How many of you would say, now, 7:07:29, closer to 7. 7:07:31 would be closer to 7:15. How many of you think, you know, Pastor, I think you finished closer to 7 than 7:15 on Sunday nights? Raise your hand. Jesus, ridiculous. I'm not even gonna ask for the second vote. Do we got anybody? You don't look at your watch. Oh man, that's so good. I am of Jesus, right? I am of Paul. I am of. All right. So whoever's voting, how many of you say closer to 7:15? 7:30 tonight, just for you guys. And anyway, let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's read these 12 verses. It's a longer passage than I wanted to do, but I think it's a cohesive package, and it's a cohesive passage. And let's read this. It's from God through the heart of Paul. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, we beg you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we have commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Title of the message, really, it's from the heart of this passage, really from verse 3 through verse 8, and it's how to be close without being too close. And so we'll get there, but in essence, it's this. This was a church. It was a young work. Paul had been with them less than 3 months. It's still kind of mind-blowing to imagine you would get people that knew nothing of Christ. They didn't have a Jewish background, though there would be some Jews even in this area, but not a strong enough contingent that you even see a hint of that in this letter. That you get basically people that knew nothing of Christ. All they knew was paganism. All they knew was just debauchery and sin. And you have less than 3 months, probably less than 2 months, to teach them all that they need to know, and you're leaving, and you try to set up some type of leadership that they might survive. Only God can make that happen. You see his heart. And so what brought them together, though, and I want to remind you of this as well, what will bring us together is persecution. God's been blessing. I'm thrilled about it. I want to be ready for the Lord to allow persecution. You see, if persecution comes, God allowed it. The devil can't do anything without the permission of God. He's a pipsqueak. I mean, he's not a pipsqueak compared to me, but he's a pipsqueak compared to my God that's greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And so we can trust him, and it's just the way God works. And so, but I want you to know as well what the Lord, what the devil does. Got to make sure I speak correctly tonight. What the devil does is he knows how to divide. You understand this. There is a sense of unity, and I'm not here to tout our unity. I love that we get along. I love that we're imperfect, but I hope we're quick to say, hey, would you forgive me? I was a little edgy. I was wrong. I've sinned. And then we make things right and we get along and we realize that we all are on the same mission. We all have the same cause, and that's the cause of Jesus Christ. And so I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for it that we have a level of unity. And that's not me touting our unity. I want to be thankful for that. But as we draw closer, and this is a kind of week that we draw closer, we better make sure we understand how the devil can pervert closeness and destroy a church. And so I only tell you this because it's the next verse. It's probably not the verse I would preach, but I trust that God has me preach this because it's needed for us. Now, let's just jump into the first verse, and then I'll wait till I get to verse 3 to have to deal with the awkward. And so verse 1, he says this, "Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more." Don't stop walking with God. And so he says, we taught you to walk. You've received it of us. You've received it. You're doing it. And you're walking with God. He says, we want you to do it more, abound more and more. Now, just the simple concept. I could go many different directions in walking with God, but, you know, I got my Fitbit here. Let's see. It's been a sedentary day. 4,800 steps. I've not been that busy. I'll just preach like this and have 10,000 before I'm done. But fake steps. But I don't think about my steps, do I? I don't. Here's the thing. When we walk, Clay, just repetitive, right? You just walk. That's what Christianity is. We read God's word. We hear his instruction in our hearts, in our minds, in our ears. And we do it. We do it today. We do it tomorrow. We do it every day. And what we ought to see is that our walk is more consistent. That, you know, I will tell you this. I would buy it if there was such a thing. There's not such a thing. I would love an eternal bit. They would say, how's my walk with the Lord? Hey, you need 10,000 whatevers. You know, and that would be awesome, wouldn't it? But we really need to examine ourselves against the scriptures. How's my walk with the Lord doing? And you know what? It's repetitive. You know, you'll hear me. You'll see the scriptures. The scriptures say the same thing a whole lot. Because it's not that complicated. There are some deep truths of the Bible, and we hardly even touch some of them. Christ will amplify those when we get into heaven. But the basics of Christianity are pretty straightforward, and what we need to do is walk in those and do those and live those and rejoice in those and not look for some kind of fireworks display. Just say this, the Word of God is going to be part of my life every day. I need it, and I'm going to learn to love it. And so work through your difficult stages. You're going to have stages where you're like, it's not doing anything for me. Ask God to help you, and just, it's not the verses, but get it in you and meditate on it. Chew on it. Ponder. Learn Christ. Think on it. The Word of God needs to be part of your life. I'm going to do it. Part of it is you need to be enamored with Christ. You need to keep your eyes on Christ. Otherwise, if you just try to just read the Bible and you're not telling people about Jesus and you're just reading the Bible hoping it's going to be some magic potion, it's not the way it works. You know, find somebody that you say, wow, I want to be like them, and it's just one day at a time. You can't change yesterday, can you? Don't you? 2 minutes, and I can break that up into 5-second intervals. I can change my life dramatically. But I don't get that, do I? I don't get to redo choices I've made yesterday. And so what I need to do is I just need to walk with God and honor God today. Today. And that's what he says. He says, I'm praying that you've received how you ought to walk and that you would abound more and more. And he says this in verse 2, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. You know what we told you God wants you to do. So I'll go over the 5 basics in less than 1 minute. You need to be hunger and thirst after God's word, after righteousness. You need to be a prayer warrior. You need to get on your knees. You need to pray. You need to just talk to the Lord, love the Lord, enjoy talking to him. You need to be a church rat, right? When the doors are open, the rats are here. Be here when the doors are opened. You need to be a Great Commission Christian. That means you're seeking people that you can teach, seeking people that you can influence, right? And part of that might be proclaiming and witnessing, But I'm telling you, the heart of the Great Commission is teaching. The devil's thrilled. Would the devil rather you witness or teach? I think he'd rather you witness. People aren't used to you teaching. The devil doesn't want you to witness either. I'm not suggesting that. Be a Great Commission Christian. That's the fourth thing, where you are teaching the lost and teaching the saved. Beg God, ask God for that, and then you receive not because you ask not. Who are you asking to have a Bible study with? Who are you asking that they would teach, that you could teach? And so it is, what I love is we're beginning to see this effect that we read about in the Bible, is that when God saves people, they immediately are going to begin to pursue people that are lost in their life. We should see some kind of mushroom effect, and we're beginning to see that a little bit, because lost people that get saved are burdened about people that are lost in their lives, and then God will save more. We see that in lives. And then fifth, just a steward of God's word: time, talents, and treasure. You know, if we look at your calendar, is your time dominated with Christ? Then make it dominated with Christ. I told Diane and Jeff, we were talking the other night, and Diane, you know, you feel this way too. Diane goes, I don't have another hour or two to do this. And I said, Jesus isn't asking for another hour or two. He's asking for all 24. He's asking for your life to be evangelistic. He's asking for your life to be about Him, so that wherever you go, you're not adding an hour, you're just living who you are and what you are. You understand this? When you have a job, it's a job for Jesus. When you go to the grocery store, there's a mission for Jesus. When you go to the gas station, there's a plan that Jesus has. How are you fitting into that plan? Are you 24 hours a day? Is Jesus who you are? Or, because here's what she was confused about. It was an awesome discussion, so I'll just share this with you. Awesome discussion. She said she saw her mom every time when she was young. Her mom would go in, lock the door an hour or two in her room. And that was the Christianity she saw from her mom. And so she always thought this. She thought, I only have 15 minutes. I don't have an hour or two. So she would watch a YouTube video on quilting or something. That's not criticizing her. But quilting? No, just... But she would watch a YouTube video on quilting. Quilting's not evil. Because she thought, well, it's disrespectful to only spend 15 minutes with the Lord. You know this, I'm going to tell you this. Every woman in the world would be delighted for their husband, their boyfriend, to have 30 seconds say, hey, I just called. I just had a brief moment here. I just want to tell you, I'm thinking about you. I love you. You are the light of my day. You are the joy of my heart. Can't wait to come home tonight to see you. But I got to go. I just had 30 seconds. Just wanted to tell you I loved you. How many women would be upset about that? You know what the Lord wants? He just wants you to just, I'm telling you this. I know you're getting tired of it. You just wait till Elia is here. Okay? When Elia can talk, I'm sure I'm on speed dial. Better be. When Elia can talk, I will tell you this. The world stops. I'm going to start looking at my phone, and every Bible study, I'll be like, I'm sorry. Hello? It's Elia. Elia will get my time, right? You know what? I'll just delight hearing from her. And the Lord, He's not desperate. He's not wringing His hands. I'm not trying to make God look like that. But I'll tell you this. He loves that you would delight being with Him. Just delight being with Him. Time, talents, and treasure. Are you doing that? That's walking with God. That's 90% of Christianity. Then there's that unique part that God has built you with specifically. He's given you gifts specifically that then you're going to figure out the will of God, and we're going to see that in verse 3. Let's look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. He says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now, let's just start there. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Sanctification is to be set apart unto righteousness. To be set apart, if you will, unto righteous service for the Lord. You have been set apart for holiness. You've been set apart to do a holy work. The work of God is holy. There's nothing dirty, nothing wrong with the work of God. We've been called to be involved in that work. It's holy. It's clean. It's lovely. It's beautiful. And He said, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now then He says this. It might be shocking. He says, abstain from fornication. And so understand, I've got some quotes here. Maybe I've just... In Rome, I didn't write them down, but in Rome, for the first 500 years, this is what is stated in history, for the first 500 years of Roman history, they state there were no divorces. Then Rome began to liberalize, and their saying became this: every marriage that exists is waiting on divorce, and every divorced woman's waiting to be married. The Greeks, they had this philosophy. They said, the prostitute is for pleasure. The mistress is for the day-to-day needs of the flesh. And the wife is for bearing children and keeping the home. All of those were appropriate within Greek culture as long as the man provided for the family, the children. You'd be okay. You can have all those other external relationships. That's the environment that these people are in. That's what they were saved out of. But I will tell you this, it's relevant today. You want to understand this? Do you want to destroy a church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Then we draw so close to one another, and the Lord tells us, he says, abstain from fornication. That's just inappropriate behavior between men and women. And so, listen, I'm just going to read a few verses. I'm going to have you turn to Colossians chapter 3. But then I want you to listen to 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know what? Just turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 because it's good enough. And it's just to the right of Thessalonians. Not that far. 2 Timothy 2, then we're going to look at Colossians 3.
Colossians 3 is to your left.
2 Timothy 2 is to your right of Thessalonians. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22 says this: flee also youthful lusts. Now, this is instruction to Timothy, but he's not that young at this point. Flee also youthful lust. And so, you know what? Hey, old man, I'm not there yet. I'm on the edge. But it's close to old man. Flee youthful lusts. The Bible would tell me that. How many times do we know of preachers, of servants of the Lord, that destroyed churches, destroyed their families, destroyed themselves because they didn't flee youthful lust? I want to tell you this. I will be an aggressive pastor. This is, I don't see any of it. I'm very alert on it. I taught young adults years ago, and underneath my ministry, I was shocked. I was so taken back by surprise. 3 or 4 affairs occurred. I felt very responsible. I didn't have a clue. But I could have had a clue because I went back and kind of said, how could I have helped this? So I'll tell you this, I pay attention. I do, I pay attention. And so maybe I'm not Mr. Observant, but I try to pay attention. You know this, men are ministries to men, women are ministries to women. It's not that we can't interact in a public setting, but I will tell you this, I would be concerned if I started noticing married people in particular associating with other married people of the opposite sex too frequently. You say, Steve, get a grip on it. I won't. I've never seen that. But I'll tell you this, I'd rather offend someone than let it destroy church. And I'd probably take the man aside and I'd say, hey, you know, I've noticed you've been hanging out with so-and-so. And I'm just telling you, I'm concerned. I love you, I believe in you, but I'm just telling you this. I think it's a bad idea. You could do the same to me. I'm not untouchable. You can come to me and tell me, we're here to help each other. You ought to do it privately. You ought not to talk about people about that, but we're here to help one another. Just let me just give you another few hints. You know, a man in this church should, a married man in particular, should not be texting a woman without their wife or like the dad or somebody included on that text. Oh, Steve, here we go. Rules. I'm just telling you, it's good common sense. So I'm just telling you, I wouldn't preach this, but this is the next verse, and so you're going to get the instruction. I'm just telling you this. Repent. If there's some kind of something happening in your heart, then you need to flee it. And let me tell you this. You know, before it gets too far, it's right here, right? If something goes through your mind, you ought to get on your knees and ask God, beg you to forgive you that it was an evil thought, and you want to cast it down and you want to do what's right. Now let's look at 2 Timothy 2:22. It says this: flee also youthful lust, but here's what we ought to follow. So this is what I love. You say, well, Steve, what do you do? Stop thinking about it. but follow righteousness, faith, charity, that's that giving love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. I'm preaching this so strongly because it happened under my watch. Yeah, I was only a Sunday school teacher, but I wasn't a very good one. Let me just help you with this. I mean, I went back and I did an analysis with this. I heard things. Let me help you with this. Teenagers, adults, there's no place for inappropriate jokes. That's where it begins. Flirtatious little things, little jokes, talking about body parts. I'm getting way too specific for you, maybe. But I'm telling you, that ought not to be happening with God's people. Those are signs that something ain't going right. I don't know of anything going on. I just preach with passion. So just be, I'm telling you, I've seen it, and I know this. God's blessing us, and He's blessing us like I've never seen. I expect persecution, and we ought to delight in it because that's an honor. It's an honor to be persecuted for Christ. That's not how I think, but I want to think that way, so I'm telling myself that every day. But I'll just tell you this, I know this. The devil hates anything good that happens in the name of God and for His glory. And the way he'll destroy us is from within. And it starts in the mind, it goes to the heart, it comes out the lips, goes in the text, flee it, run. Joseph's one of the greatest examples, right? Potiphar's wife, she kept approaching him day after day after day. If there's any criticism for Joseph, I would have found a way not to go in the house. But Joseph was so committed to God that he fled the scene. And you know what? He could have criticized God because it looks like when he honored God that when he fled the scene, he got accused of something horrible and was put in prison. But Joseph knew at the end, didn't he? He said, "You meant it for evil unto me." He said that to his brothers. He could have looked at Potiphar's wife. "You meant it for evil unto me, but God meant it for good." If we live for God and we walk for Him long enough, we'll see that everything that He does, everything that He allows, if it rained Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, your old preacher here, your old pastor would be like, "God's mad at us." No, He's not. I'd be upset. I'm tired of looking at the weather this week. And I don't care come tomorrow. No, Lord, don't move the clouds. But I'm just telling you, if it rains, oh, you know, that's the best thing. We need to trust God. But look at Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ," are you really saved? Are you really saved? "If you risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth." What do you love? What do you love? I'm telling you, if we love the things that they're warning about in Thessalonica, then you will fall. You will fall. He says, "Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you are dead." We are dead to sin. And your life is hid with Christ in God. We need to live as though we are dead to sin and we can have victory daily in our walk with Christ. Verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life," you see, it's not an option. If you're saved, He is your life. Sometimes I think I might preach it like you need to make Him your life. He is our life if you're saved. "When Christ shall appear," you see, it brings in the appearance and return of Christ here too. "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory." And so be motivated. 1 Thessalonians is chocked full of the return of Christ. Be motivated. Jesus is coming again. It's worth it. It's worth it. Abstain from fornication. Walk with God. Do the will of God. Be separate. Look at verse 5. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." And look, all of these first four are sexual in nature. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. All of those inappropriate behavior and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. Walking in sanctification. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians. Walking in sanctification. There's two things I want you to understand. It's not always just stopping bad. So, too many times, Christians, we define ourselves from what we don't do. But sanctification is ceasing from evil and then learning to do well. We will ultimately be judged as believers for what we did, because our sin has been washed away. Sanctification is, yes, it's ceasing from evil, but it's learning to do well, and it's doing well. 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's a strong verse. And so, this is a powerful communication. Look at verse 4. Do you see the whole, verse 4 through 8? He says, look at verse 3. Just let's get the momentum. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, your body, in sanctification, in honor. You want to honor Christ? Then it's in your body. What we do with our body, how we live in our body, will honor or dishonor the Lord Jesus Christ. What you're going to find at the end of this, the world is watching you. You want a good report externally? The world will find out. How they find out, I don't know. Little old Hope Baptist Church. If Hope Baptist Church has a violation of this scripture, the world will know and they'll mock Christ. I don't want to be part of that. My motivation has to be Christ, not just that I'll get caught. Because here's what we do. Here's what we do. If all you're worrying about what's getting caught, then you're not really going to be sanctified. You'll think about it here. You'll think, oh, I can think about it and not get caught. You think about it long enough, it's going to come out of your heart. So don't think you can hide it in your heart and hide it in your mind. You know what we have to do? We have to cast down every evil imagination. We have to honor Christ with our thoughts. We need to learn how to handle our vessel, how to handle it in sanctification and in honor. Catch those thoughts. Catch those hearts. I'm telling you this. Let this message, if this message applies to you, I'm going to tell you, you know what the Bible says? You know, the Bible says, thou shalt not covet. Covet not thy neighbor's wife. Nobody ever commits fornication with a lady over in Wyoming. Right? It's the lady right next door. Or the lady right in your church. Or the man right in your church. Folks, these are real issues. I praise the Lord. I hope I'm preaching to nothingness. I'm sure I'm not. What's happening in our heads? What's happening in our hearts? We need to learn how to handle our vessel in sanctification and in honor. Again, I tell you this just so you know. The way I preach, you'd be like, he knows something. I don't. Will you allow me just to preach with passion? What the Bible says, and I'm going to tell you this. This passage, you know why this passage is so meaningful for me? Because I think God's blessing us. We don't deserve his blessings. I do not want us to be, I almost don't want to talk about it. The reason I don't want to talk about it, not because I believe in jinx, you know, it's not that. I don't want to talk about it because if we talk about it, somehow we'll be puffed up about it. We'll think it's us. It has nothing to do with us. We need to be humbled, and we need to serve the Lord, and we need to just be thrilled that God's making, he's saving people, and people are being drawn to him. There's nothing better to be a part of. And so I don't want to talk about it in the sense of, because the only way I'll talk about it is somehow be prideful and take the glory from him. But I know this. This is exactly how the devil destroys. It's not the only way, but it's one of them. Look at this. He says, look, verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence. That would be lust on steroids. That would be extreme lust. It'd be over-the-top lust. He says, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Do you understand the relevancy of this particular passage? I don't know if I lived in maybe I just don't know the prairie days, right? So I don't know if in the prairie days, if it's like, whoa, man, did you go down to the corner store? All they're talking about is inappropriate things. For some reason, I didn't pick up on that in Little House on the Prairie. Right? But today, you can't turn on the radio. You can't watch a football game. And you're going to be sexualized in it all. You can't get on the internet without some point popping up. I'm telling you this. If that's an issue, stay off the internet. I just know this. FifthThird.com doesn't have those things. CapitalOne.com, I can take care of all my business on the internet. I don't need Facebook. And, you figure it out. I'm just telling you this. The devil will draw you in little bit by little bit. Do you know your weaknesses? You know what draws you away? Flee it. Stay away from it. I need to tell myself that too. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to me. And he says, don't be as the Gentiles. Now look at this. I love this. I so love this. He says this. Look at verse 6. And this is a progression. He says, so walk in sanctification. Don't defraud your brother. Look at verse 6. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Now I'm telling you this. This is important. You know this? Every man in this congregation, every woman that's saved in this congregation, she is the daughter of God. And let me tell you, Papa Bear says in verse 6, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Let me just tell you, you want the Lord to be displeased. You mess with one of his children within the context of his church. It's evil no matter how you slice it. There's something about it if I defraud my brother, if I defraud my brother or my sister. You understand that? It could be brother or sister in that context. And first, God says this, how dare you? How dare we be unfaithful? I believe this. I know we love one another. What we have to do is we have to confess our sins before God and say, how dare I? How dare I defraud a brother in Christ? How dare I? And then I want you to understand this. Now this is some of us, I don't know if I can say us, but some of you have dealt with that in your family circles where horrible and terrible things have happened. And it's so upsetting, and I don't know from personal perspective. You know, these passages make me pray for my two married children and my one unmarried daughter. I tell them, I'll just say, hang in there. It gets better. And they're not complaining. But they live far enough away. I think they have good marriages. I hope they're not foolish. But the more we hang out with the world, the more we'll be foolish. I just, folks, you understand. Don't defraud your brother. And like I said, it is God takes care. God takes these serious. He says that in verse 6. He said, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. And so I tell you this. If some of you that have had just, if I can use this word, tragedy, sadness, the breaking up of homes, let God be the avenger. Let God be the avenger. That's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult. I love my son-in-law. I love my son-in-law, Joshua Skelly. It would shock me. It would shock me. I praise the Lord for him, but he better walk with God. Because I'm going to struggle with verse 6 if he does anything. I'm at Kansas in a heartbeat. Now, I love my son-in-law. I'm just good, you know, and I've got to be careful, right? And I just got to say, Lord, let him have it. That's not even the right spirit of Christianity. But you understand this? I put myself in that position. God in holiness feels that way when we defraud a brother. Do you understand that? You understand that? God loves his children more than I love my children. With a holiness and a commitment. He died for them. He bled for them. He rose again for them. I don't love my kids. I wouldn't go to hell for my kids, and neither would you. If you were able to go for 5 seconds and able to change your mind, you'd be like, change my mind. Yeah, it'd be real easy until you get there. You'd be like, reverse, right? Jesus, he could have stopped Steve. And he didn't, Randall. He didn't. I would. We have no idea what eternal damnation is. We have no idea what eternal, what he took for our sin. He could have, and he didn't. He didn't. I would. I don't think there's one person in here that, you know, I want to tell you this. I want to be able to, I think I could die for my family. Maybe not thumb screws. I mean, why do I think about all that? No, you can have her. You can have her. You know, I'm just kidding. The torture of it all, right? I've watched too many medieval torture elements by the Roman Catholic Church. Oh, I don't know how people did that for Christ. Oh, they're glad today. But let's not defraud a brother in Christ. I love every one of you. You know, it's good. I'm just glad. Let's just serve the Lord and let me get on your nerves just because I'm a nerve-getting-on guy. Love me and forgive me, right? But let's not defraud one another. Look at this in verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He tells us this. He's called us unto holiness. This is so daunting. We are holy. The new man is holy. But you know this. We have this flesh. I love Romans 7. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the good that I would, I do, not the evil which I would not, that I do. And then I love it when Paul says, I mortify the flesh, because the good that I would not, that I do, is like, I get it. Do you not get it? I tell people all the time, I told Alberto this. I said, you know what my best day is going to be, Alberto? He goes, no, I go the day I die. I said, because I'll be with Jesus. I said, but until that day, it's all about Christ, if I'm thinking right. And so we are to be holy. We are to be holy. We are to be clean. I mean, do you see this? For God has not called us unto uncleanness. That word uncleanness is still inappropriate behavior between men and women. But he's called us unto holiness. You see, we have been called to something completely different. We ought to behave completely different. We ought to think completely different. And what you bring into your mind, I'm just telling you, again, be careful what you bring into your mind. It'll destroy you. The devil knows that. Why do you think there's an agenda with Hollywood? You know, people tell me, you know, oh, music's neutral. Yeah, Hollywood knows that. Dun, 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 dun. You know, you're all worked up with just music, right? It's not neutral. There's nothing neutral. It's either godly or ungodly. We may struggle with what it is, but it is that we are called to holiness. And now look at this. I'm going to get a move on it because Jeff's going to be right tonight. But look at verse 8. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Let me tell you this. You don't like this instruction? Maybe my delivery's not that good. Then you despise God. Let me just help you and understand this. You know, in fornication, it involves pornography. And you know, it involves all that secret stuff that goes on. You understand that? If you despise this instruction, you despise God, not the person that's speaking it. I want you to understand this. When we want to ignore God's commandments, we despise Him. We need to be honest about that and say, Lord, it's you that I despise. It's you that I am upset with. And He's given us the Holy Spirit. So you're not alone. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. God's so faithful. You ought to do post-analysis of your sin. When you sin, go back and look for the door. There it is. There it is. There's multiple doors usually. If there's not, run. Flee fornication. And then flee to Christ. Flee to Christ. Remember this. Remember the message this morning. Jesus says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. When you flee fornication, flee to Christ. Flee to Christ. Beg Him. Say, I can't do this, Father. But you said I could through Christ. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I want you to be in all of God when He does give you victory. See, that's the beautiful thing about Christianity, when God gives you victory over something you've struggled with 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Don't you dare give up. You just haven't been taught, haven't learned how to have victory, and that's in Christ. Now, quickly, let me I'm going to stop with verse 9 and 10. I'm just not going to, this is it. I'm going to stop with verse maybe 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Do you see this? He's warning them about something because they love. You see this? Then the devil wants to make love perverted. Do you understand that? That's this passage. He says, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. And so he says, you're doing it great. Just don't pervert it. Keep it pure. Keep it wonderful. You know, I had a friend this week. He said something that I'm pondering. I'm still not sure what it means, but I thought it was pretty good. It was deeper than my puddles that I normally give him. And he said, you know what I've been pondering this past week? Is the purity of the conception of Christ. I was like, yeah, me too. I was sitting around. Folks, that's a thought. The purity of the conception of Christ. It was glorious. It was wonderful. It was holy. It was good. It was so lovely. And it was pure. I mean, I don't know what to do with that, but I've chewed on it for a couple days, and I'm just like, that's just good, folks. I want you to understand that. Jesus came in purity, in beauty, in wonder, in awe. And he says that we need to love the brethren. And he says, and indeed you do it, but we beseech you that you increase it more and more. And so you know what? I'm going to finish with this. Do I have my second thought on there? Without and within, without and within. And then I'm done. It's this. Let's love the brethren. Let's love the brethren appropriately, right? And I'm just telling you this. It is, what would practical instruction be? I don't know of anything going on, but if there's something in your heart, you need to get it right with God. And then if it's a man and a woman and a woman and a man, just stay away from that person. You know? And just do it, you know, casually. There's no place for inappropriate love. Love. You follow me? That's how the devil would destroy church. Paul is instructing them, and they were a loving church. It was one of their fortes. It was one of their blessings. And when persecution comes, you draw closer together. And if we aren't walking with God, the closer we get together, the more risk there is. That's the reality of human nature. This flesh. And I tell you all this to say, let me just read this final quote. I'm going to read two final quotes and I'm done because it's not 7:15 yet. J. Vernon McGee said this, the great tragedy today is to hear of some Christian worker who has become involved in sexual sin. And unfortunately, there are even churches that will defend a minister who has been guilty of such. We are people who are supposed to be set aside for the use of God. Paul says that you cannot be involved in sexual sin and at the same time be used of God. One cannot live in sin and be a preacher or singer or Sunday school teacher or an officer in the church. I don't care who you are. If you do, you will wreck the work of God. Do you want to wreck the work of God? I don't think anybody in this room tonight does. And then finally, Hudson Taylor, great missionary to China. I could preach a message on Hudson Taylor's quotes. Man, if they're really his quotes, it's like, whoa, I don't have one. Hudson Taylor said this, we are not only to renounce evil, but to manifest the truth. We tell people the world is vain. Let our lives manifest that it is so. We tell them that our home is above and that all these things are transitory. Does our dwelling look like it? Oh, to live consistent lives. He uses the word manifest there. Let me just make sure it's that we ought to show it. So let's listen to it again. We are not only to renounce evil, but to manifest the truth. We're to show it. You know what? We are to speak it, but we are to show it. And he says, we tell people the world is vain. Let our lives manifest or show it that it is so. Christian, God will help you. Flee these things. For the cause of Christ, so we don't defraud our brother, and for the testimony externally that we have for Christ. It's worth it all. That old song, it will be worth it all. You better believe it's worth it all. Let's honor Christ. Final thought. If you're here, I wasn't preaching about anybody. Your past is your past. Repent, make it right with God, receive His forgiveness, and let's walk in holiness from this point on. You can't walk in holiness yesterday, right? I wasn't preaching for guilt. I'm preaching. There's hope in Christ. Let's pray. Father, You are good.